Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California for another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so gracious and humble host. Of course, I'm also an award-winning writer and a four-time Golden Glove champion. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing, but I've always found out the average fan has an insight I don't have. So if you'd like to give me a call on the toll-free, you can. The toll-free number here, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, you can hit us up on the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. Don't have to come on the air. Drop your opinion. 415-275-1613. That's right. The studio text line once again, 415-275-1613. Of course, Devin Haney, a winner last night over Jorge Linares, but he showed some chinks in his armor. I thought we'll talk about that in depth. We'll hear from Devin Haney, Jorge Linares as well. Of course, the battle for the WBC Lightweight Championship or a portion of the WBC Lightweight Championship. We'll talk with WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman at about 20 minutes past the hour here in hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, we'll bring in, of course, the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. Spend some time with Larry Merchant and primetime Eddie Croft, boxing trainer extraordinaire from San Mateo, California, former WBC regional 122-pound champion. He will be here in hour number two as well. So, open phone lines once again all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or the once again, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. And in all of that, Nonito Donaire stole the show. Without a doubt, he was the king of the night. Props to the king, Nonito Donaire. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Check it, 12 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We are minutes away from WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman. Of course, 1 hour away from the retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant. And, of course, primetime Eddie Croft. I love to bring Eddie because Eddie is a former fighter who got out at a time where he still got everything going on. And he's one of the best trainers going in the business, no doubt about that. So we'll hear from trainer extraordinaire and former WBC regional champion Eddie Croft in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Well, straight up, last night, you got to give it to Nonito Donaire. What can I say? We'll start it off with that. Of course, a kid from San Leandro, California, Newark, California, wherever he's living over there across the bay. But the bottom line is he's now 41-6, 26 kills, records knockout number 26 when he stops Nordine Ubali in the fourth round. I mean, I don't want to say the guy was a French pastry, but that sort of sounds appropriate. The bottom line is he came in a 3-1 favorite, and Donaire just took him apart. In fact, when Donaire hurt him early in that fight, dropped him a couple times in round number three, when he hurt him, I think he would know Donaire was probably the most surprised guy of the night, without a doubt. But he jumped on him with both feet, and God bless him. The WBC bantamweight champion is Nonito Donaire, the Filipino Flash, of course. The guy that I talked about peaking on that magic day in 2007, July 7, 2007, 7-7-07. Bottom line is he knocked out Victor Chinian that day for the flyweight championship in defense of the flyweight championship. So I thought that maybe that was his peak 14 years ago. Well, guess what? 14 years later, he surprises me. He surprises the odds makers. He was a 3-1 underdog. Props to Nonito Donaire. We hope to get him on the show in the near future. Now, we take it, of course, to the big fight last night, or a bigger fight last night. The WBC lightweight title was on the line, at least a version of it. The kid from San Francisco, what can I say about him? Other than that, he's still undefeated. 26-0. Devin Haney, of course, won by scores of 116-112 twice. That's 8-4 rounds. And 115-113 once. That's 7-5 rounds. Bottom line is Jorge Linares. I said he had no chance. What do you say? He had He had two chances, Slim and none, and Slim just left town. Well, guess what? Last night, he put up a decent effort, and in my opinion, I think that he showed that Devin Haney's got a bit of a chin problem. We'll talk about that a little bit later when we bring in both my guests. But straight up, here's Devin Haney post-fight.
I think that, you know, the great thing about this situation is there is no network problems. And that's generally an excuse as to why a fight can't get made. So there are no excuses. So if Al Heyman wants to make an offer to us and Bill and Devin to fight Tank on pay-per-view, no problem. It's a massive pay-per-view fight. You know, if someone wants an offer from us, sizable offer, to do it on DAZN, no problem. So I think he's in such a great position because there are really no excuses as to why one of those fights shouldn't happen. And that's when I talked earlier about how I feel you guys gave Ryan Garcia a huge pass, because where's the excuse for that one? Same network, mandatory challenger. And it was just like, no, that's just not going to happen. Why? Why not? You know, I think there needs to be, people will need to be more accountable if those kind of fights don't happen. So now, Tank, Teofimo, there's no excuse.
Who do you think, Devin, is the best of the 30, other than yourself, who is the best opponent for you at 35? Is it KO, or is there somebody else you think is better?
All those guys are good. You know, I can't just sit here and just lie to the media and not lie to the fans and say that all those guys aren't good. I think all those guys are good, and all of them would be a huge fight. But I really want belts right now. I want to become the undisputed lightweight champion of the world. So, I mean, the one that I will want the most is to you.
Teofimo Lopez, of course, the reigning world lightweight champion, WBC, WBA, WBO, IBF, all that kind of good stuff. All the belts. Bottom line is the linear champion, of course, the franchise champion as well at 135 pounds. He will defend his title, of course, next month, June 19th, I believe, in Miami, Florida, against George Kambosos, of course, coming to us from undefeated, from down under in Australia. That should be a good fight. But the bottom line is Teo is king at 135 pounds. And in my opinion, Devin Haney's stock value dropped last night. What do I mean by that is he got caught a couple times, and he didn't react as well as I thought he should have, especially walking back to that corner one time. In fact, Linares, you know, you're the opponent in the fight. And I've said this 1,000 times on this show, 1,000,000 times maybe. When you're the opponent, you're not supposed to win. So you get this little chance to win, and then you've got to jump all over with both feet and hands and everything you got. And the bottom line is, Linares didn't see the urgency last night. He talked about this post-fight. Bottom line is, here's Jorge post-fight.
Here we are with Jorge Linares after his tough fight with Devin Haney. You almost had him, Jorge. You had him really, really hurt.
You know, I know very well. I lose the first round to still to fight. I lose because, you know, it's the inactivity. I was so tired because I was thinking only the block, and then when I get the chance, give it to him, punch, you know, combination, everything like that, because I have more punch than him. But the referee was a little intense, and then after 6th round, I gave the chance to give it to him a lot of punch. The 9th round, I have a big chance. When he come back to the ring, he was so bad. And then he come to only click me. Clinch and clinch and clinch, yeah. So, and the referee was more intense. I was thinking he want to take one point, you know. But, you know, boxing is like that. I was good. I'm very happy with my job. But, you know, the inactividad es muy fuerte.
Inactivity is very hard.
Son 16 meses sin pelear, y por más que sea, siempre me afectó.
And it affected him a lot.
Y cuando comencé a golpearlo, comenzó a agarrarse, y el referee también estaba fastidioso. Pensé que me iba a quitar puntos.
I thought the ref was going to take points from me because, you know.
But, you know, boxing is like that. So, as I tell to Golden Boy, give it to me the opportunity again for rematch. He don't want to do that. 100% he don't want.
How did Devin feel in there? How was the jab?
No, he was fast. He was fast, but I didn't feel his punch. I didn't feel his punch. He had only good speed. Good speed, but only that.
What else was difficult in the fight for you?
His style is a little difficult because he going always back, and then click.
Another example of the apple not falling very close to the tree is Shane Mosley Jr., of course, the son of Shane Mosley Sr., the former lightweight champion, of course, won some titles at welterweight as well, but the bottom line is he was king at 135, maybe one of the best ever at 135, but Shane Mosley Jr., now 17-3, a majority decision loser to, guess who? A guy from across the pond. I thought it was sort of cool. Jason Quigley. The guy talks with a big British accent, so it's a couple second week in a row in which we've had a Brit prevailing on television. Of course, Josh Taylor capturing the world 140-pound championship last week with a unanimous. I mean, Josh Taylor just looked so good. You got to give it to Josh. I mean, Josh has to be fighter of the month without a doubt. But Jason Quigley, 19-1 now, with he lost that one fight by stoppage. 14 KOs. Props to him. A unanimous to take that majority winner over Shane Mosley Jr. Scores were 95-95. That makes a majority. One score, one judge calls it even. And then one had it 97-93, the other had it 96-94. Of course, Aaron Pryor Jr., Fernando Vargas Jr., I can go on and on. But, you know, these guys just can't live up to the fact that you can't live up to your father's legend. I mean, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., the poor guy, he's a pretty good little guy. I mean, people talk about his intestinal fortitude, and he lacks this and he lacks that. But, you know, he was a WBC middleweight title holder at one point in time, and he did earn that. So JC Jr. could fight at one time when his dedication was there. But then again, you know, you've got a guy that's not living in a railroad car like his father. I mean, think about that. Julio Sr. lived in a railroad car in Tijuana. That's where he chose doing 4 and 6 round fights. He was living in a railroad car. They had a bed in a railroad car. I kid you not. A railroad car, like on a train track. I kid you. And I kid you not. So anyway, that's where he came from. The kids living in mansions. I mean, how do you get hungry living in mansions? You just couldn't do it. So Julio Cesar Chavez this week calling for a Canelo rematch. You know, I think it's good for him to talk a good game. And his father, of course, one of the greatest, if not the greatest fighter in all Mexico history. In fact, who was the greatest fighter in Mexico? Think about that. Was it Salvador Sanchez? People like to say Salvador Sanchez. I think he went 41-1 or something like that before losing his life in that auto accident, of course, back in 1982. But was he the greatest, or was this the guy that, since he died early, that they consider him great? Well, think about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Next up, WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman. I almost said Jose Sulaiman again. Damn it. You are. Anyway, Mauricio Sulaiman next up on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
The Filipino Flash stole the show with how far as the weekend boxing results were concerned. No doubt about that. Capturing the WBC Bantamweight Championship, defeating an undefeated champion in 4 rounds last night. So the fighter of the month, without a doubt, as far as I'm concerned, is Nonito Donaire. So now we take it south of the border and bring in the WBC president, and I'll get this right, Mauricio Sulaiman. How are you today, sir?
Hello, Pedro. How are you? I'm so happy to be again in Ring Talk with you. You're a dear friend. Thank you for remembering my father. I love to see when and hear when you say Jose Mauricio.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? And we write it down. See, that's what it is. We write it down so we don't gaff here, and I still gaff when I write it down. So what I'm trying to tell you is it's involuntary. Anyway, speaking of voluntary, let's talk about the fights last night. Of course, the WBC Bantamweight Championship on the line. Obali coming in undefeated, 17-0. Of course, some come to us from France. And the Filipino Flash, a 3-1 underdog. Wow, what can I say? Fighter of the month.
He was a sensational performance. He becomes the oldest to ever conquer the bantamweight champion at 38. Mm-hmm. And Wally was a tough champion. He won the first two rounds, the first three rounds in most scorecards, and he was just a tough when Donaire landed, he hurt him, and he's a great finisher. So it was a formidable performance by a legendary Hall of Fame champion.
He's a shark. When he smells blood, he goes for it.
Absolutely. He knew it, and he didn't let go, and he just stepped on the accelerator and knocked him out.
Wow. So 38 what, years.
Do you see the beautiful action after the fight? Instead of celebrating, his victory, he goes and kneels down and makes sure that his opponent is not hurt. That is what boxing is all about. That was so beautiful.
Mauricio Sulaiman is our guest, the president of the World Boxing Council. Much like Oscar Valdez was with Belchamp, Miguel Burchelt, about a month and a half ago.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. He just went and knelt down, and they praised each other. And because they pray before they go into the ring for them and their opponent to make it okay after the fight. Boxers are honorable. It's the most beautiful sport because after a tremendous action-packed fight, they go to the center of the ring and they hug each other and recognize. So it's more honorable than anyone could think.
You know, I had bad blood in a lot of fights. I did. I was quite vocal and things like that, and I would tend to get under people's skin. That was part of my makeup. But when it was over with, win or lose, I remember in the center of the ring, I was just like, well, hey, man, it's over, you know. And we'd hug each other and this and that. And some people don't get that, but if you're a boxer, you get it. If you're not a boxer, you don't get it because you just watch these two guys trying to behead each other for a certain amount of rounds, and then they are hugging one another.
Yes, it's a unique sport. It's a unique what happens inside the ring, and there's so much stress, the preparation, the sacrifice that every fighter has to go through to do one fight. It's so much that nobody can understand it unless they have gone through that.
Okay. Let's talk about Devin Haney last night. Devin Haney, of course, defending the WBC lightweight title against a formidable challenger and Mr. Jorge Linares, who some people had written off, myself probably included beforehand, but it was a close fight, 115-113. One judge had it 7-5 in rounds. The other two judges had it 8-4 in rounds. Wow. What can I say? Mr. Linares showed up, and he did more than I think some people thought. They thought that Mr. Haney was going to have a walk for 12 rounds.
Well, it was a great test because also many people didn't know if Haney was at the level that he's supposed to be, mm-hmm. to be the WBC world champion. And I was so proud to see him perform. He took the fight to Linares. He didn't run away as people expected. He didn't fight a defensive fight. Mm-hmm. And he completely dominated. He got hurt. And then he had the ability to stay and win the fight. So it was a great test, great challenge. Linares was sensational. He's a Hall of Famer also. And it was just a highly entertaining fight. But my words are that I'm very proud of our champion, Devin Haney, and he's for real.
Devin Haney seems to be he seems to think more than, how can I put this? When he's doing these interviews, you can watch him. He's really thinking. He's the most careful guy speaking when it comes to post-fight interviews. He's almost guarded. Is that just me looking at him? Or, you know, I think he's quite reserved still.
Well, he's a very nice kid. He lives for boxing. I met him when he was an amateur fighter. And we have been very close to him for many, many years. And I'm very proud for what he has accomplished. And I like, he's young, so he's confused. There's so many things, so many additional difficulties that current athletes and celebrities have to face with social media. So I like the way he's positioning himself and now proving in the ring against Linares that puts him in a different perspective, and he has a bright future.
No doubt about that. Now 26-0, of course, a kid originally born in San Francisco, now making his living in Las Vegas, Nevada, WBC lightweight title holder. Now on the flip side, what's going on with Ryan Garcia?
Well, he's in the process of recovery. He's attending his personal issues, mm-hmm. and he will have the absolute full support from the WBC.
Okay, so do we have any decisions as to whether and whether when he's going to return? Do we have a return date on him yet? Oh, no, we dropped Mauricio. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, coming to us live from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. We'll try to reconnect with Mauricio Sulaiman, the WBC president, of course, coming to us from south of the border. Mexico City, that's what he calls home. We'll get back to him in just a minute. Anyway, I want to mention, speaking of Mauricio Sulaiman, Jose Sulaiman turning would have been 90 years old this year. 90 years old, the godfather himself, man, he was a good guy. And I'll never forget some of the times we did or had around the world. I was all bummed out in Japan because I wasn't able to talk to my daughter on the phone one time. So he gave me his own cell phone, said, call her right now. I mean, that's just the way he was to me. I mean, put me up in first class when I was sitting coach a bunch of times. I mean, more than, I would say, I think at least three times he pulled me out of coach, Roach, I used to call it. Cause I was a small little guy, 135, 140 pounds. He pulled me out of coach, put me up there in first class, but that's just the way Jose Sulaiman was to me. No doubt about that. The WBC founder and president. That's right. My blood is green. That's what he says, but my heart is gold. That is the WBC saying. Of course, you can also catch the WBC on their website at WBCboxing.com. Now, as far as the MIG picture is concerned, 135 pounds. Of course, Teofimo Lopez, the world franchise champion, the world champion, undisputed, linear, all that kind of good stuff. I mean, he's got all the belts. All the other guys are sort of, I would say, asterisk type of guys. In other words, guys that have the title, but they've got an asterisk next to them afterwards because Teofimo is a king. Of course, he beat Vasyl Lomachenko, the guy that nobody wanted to fight for the longest of times. Of course, now Lomachenko going to come back and take on the phenomenal. I mean, I say he's phenomenal because he can fight. The guy from Japan, Nakatani. Nakatani can fight. So Nakatani and Vasyl Lomachenko going to hook it up, see if Lomachenko, if Lomo has still got the fire in him. But does he have the still fire? Does he still have the fire? That's a big question. Of course, he is getting up there in age. And a lot of amateur fights, few pro fights. Only had like 16, 17 pro fights, but those amateur fights, I think he had almost 400 amateur fights. That's a lot of amateur fights for a guy to have, no doubt about that, in Vasyl Lomachenko. But Nakatani is going to be a challenge. I think that's going to go down in July or August. Speaking of June, of course, we got Floyd Mayweather coming back. You know, comeback. I wish I had a barf bag right now as far as, you know, like to vomit in because I'm not a big fan of this thing. He's going to come back and fight some guy by the name of Logan Paul. I looked at this guy, Logan Paul. I saw a picture of him. I was like ashamed. I mean, I wouldn't fight this guy. I mean, I don't think it'd be a fair fight if I fought him, let alone Floyd Mayweather fought him. And Floyd's a lot younger than I am, but this wouldn't be fair. It's sort of like beating up a guy that shouldn't even be beaten up on. I mean, Logan Paul shouldn't have a license to box. He shouldn't be able to box. He couldn't spell box if you gave him the three letters and put him on a piece of paper. He just can't do it. I don't think he's that much. I think he's inferior, as is his brother, another guy. So they've got these two Paul brothers that are YouTube boxers. So am I down with this YouTube thing? No, but if it'll bring some attention to the boxing game, I'll go for that. I mean, the intention to bring some squares to boxing, you know, it'll improve pay-per-view numbers and improve overall house numbers and things like that over the years as far as club shows are concerned. Because remember, boxing begins at the club level. It begins like in cities like Omaha, Nebraska, and places like that, and, you know, and outside of Chicago, and of course outside of Atlantic City, maybe Kissimmee, Florida, places like that. This is where boxing gets his really its foundation, in the preliminaries, the club shows. That's where it starts. Of course, guy goes from club shows to bigger shows to the big stage in Las Vegas and or of course Texas now, hauling all the big fights. And I'm talking about Jerry Jones, man. Jerry Jones is calling the shots down there as far as spending the money is concerned. More power to the Dallas Cowboys owner, man. He just calls his own shots. Whatever Jerry wants, he does in Texas. That's just the way it is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. As my producer attends to the production issues with Mauricio Sulaiman. We're trying to get him back. Of course, I'll hopefully get him back after the break, but you are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, make that 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Why am I saying that? Because, you know, they've came, they've left. I mean, I've had chicks want to do shows and of course all these little podcasts and that kind of stuff. You're looking at the original podcaster as far as boxing was concerned. When I put on the show on network radio in 1992, I think it was Talk America Radio back then, but it was the first time that it ever went on the internet. Any sports show went on the internet. It was Talk America was like this talk network, and then they put on the sports show, and I was the first sports show to go live on the internet. It was back in 1992. So bottom line is we took its course to China and did the first show ever from the People's Republic of China, both in 1993 television and radio. So that's some of the Ring Talk history. Hopefully El Presidente and Mauricio Sulaiman. After the break, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The damn internet went out. That's what they're saying here. The internet went out as far as the, I guess just here in the building, but I'm upset. Mauricio got disconnected as far as we were concerned. Now, me and the WBC president, I'm down there in Mexico City, so we'll hope to get that rectified soon. But the bottom line is, when it rains, it pours as far as production issues are concerned around here. We hope to get Eddie Croft, primetime Eddie Croft, off in a couple of minutes for his primetime, the former WBC regional champion, a trainer extraordinaire, of course, a guy that they took to the, they brought over to the Ukraine for a long time in order to train fighters over there. He's got the ability. He's got the insight. And I think that Eddie's one of the fine trainers in the world of boxing, no doubt about that. And I happen to know him, so it's sort of cool that you happen to know the guy that's probably one of the up-and-coming better trainers in all of boxing, no doubt about it. So we hope to get primetime Eddie Croft on in just a minute. Now, some texts coming in here on Devin Haney. I was a bit too harsh on Devin Haney. He took a good punch last night. He took a couple of decent punches. I wasn't all that impressed in the way he reacted to the punches. I mean, it really wasn't. But at the end of the day, without a doubt, he was. Okay, let's take it to the phone lines and bring in primetime Eddie Croft. What's up, Mr. Primetime?
Pedro, how are you? I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm excellent. How's the family?
Everybody's good, you know. The kids are going crazy fighting with each other, and you know, normal family life.
Now you know I have a problem with the Russians. With your Russian fighter's name. What's his name? Say it for me, so I don't have to blow it as far as the pronunciation is concerned. And then tell me what he's doing.
Evgeny Shevchenko, and right now he's in Russia. We're waiting to hear who is going to take the fight for the title eliminator. So, like, the guy pulled out that we were supposed to fight on the 17th of April, and then now they're going down the list, seeing if, you know, Danny Jacobs wants to fight, Caleb Truax wants to fight, or, you know, we're trying to find somebody that wants to fight. Go ahead.
Is he on a salary? I mean, is your fighter on a salary? Who is it, from his manager? Is it from that group over there in Europe? I mean, what's happening with it? Who pays him?
Yeah, the German promoter pays him 6,000 euros a month.
Okay. You know what? That's pretty good. Can he make a, what's 6,000 euros? Is that about $8,000?
Like 7,500, 8,000, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you could live a pretty good living on that. I mean, you could live a good life on that, couldn't you?
Yes, especially in, you know, Krasnoyarsk, Russia, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's doing pretty good.
You know, I always thought that Russian fighters were hungry, and, I mean, were hungrier than the hungriest fighters in the world right now, but without a doubt, I thought one of the reasons why they were hungry was that back in the days, they almost had to wipe their butt with a rock. So you have the choice of wiping your butt with a rock or toilet paper, and fighting's the one thing in between. Guess what? Fighting ain't so tough.
Yeah, it's not so. You know what? Like, things are like much, you know, different now, where, you know, when the Russian fighters are able to go out and get promotional deals from, you know, other countries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, they're living a much better life than when they were, you know, stuck in the Soviet Union and they had a choice of the rock or toilet paper. Yes. I agree with you.
Okay. Devin Haney last night on display went 12 rounds with Jorge Linares, got rocked a couple times. I wasn't overly impressed with the fact that he didn't react. I didn't think he reacted all that well to the punches. Anyway, bottom line is, what was your assessment of Devin Haney's performance last night with Mr. Linares?
You know what? I thought he looked very sharp early, and, you know, about like third, fourth, maybe fifth round. He was doing some stuff that I hadn't seen him do in fights. I'd seen him do it in the gym before. I've been in the gym with him maybe 3-4 times. And, I thought he looked okay. I expected Linares to do about that because, you know, he's like really sharp one. So, you know, he can only fight in spurts. And if Haney left himself open, then he was going to, you know, take those shots. And you know what? Like, I don't know, man. He came out of it okay. Haney did with those hard punches. But, I mean, just think about it. If it was Teofimo Lopez that hit him, then, you know, that's a whole different story. So, you know, and not only that, Teofimo would be able to do a lot earlier in the fight because, you know, he's young and fresh and fast and punches hard. And, you know, so, like, you know, I see definite issues and style, you know, just stylistically a bad matchup for Haney and Teofimo.
You know, I asked Hector Martinez this, and he had some crazy BS type of answer. But I want to ask you this. Why is it when old guys, they're the opponent, they're not supposed to win the fight. There comes a time in the fight where there's a glimmer of hope, where they have a chance to win the fight, and then they don't step on the gas. I thought Linares should have, like, went for broke there. I mean, and he didn't go for broke the two times I thought that he rattled Mr. Haney.
Well, you know what? I mean, like, part of it is, like I said, you know, he's sharp-worn. He can't, it's hard for him to let it go and you know, just let punches fly, you know? He can only do one or two. And not only that, every time he punched, he was getting hit, too. So, like, you know, he had to be real selective on when he let his hands go, and especially early in the fight, right? Like, later in the fight, you just have no choice. I got to go. I got to try to knock him out. But early in the fight, you know, he was getting caught with stuff, and he didn't want, you know, I mean, like, Haney hurt him a couple times. So, you know, he said, hey, you want, I'm going to sit back and try to be a little cautious. But, like, really make the ones that I hit him with and make them count.
Okay. Eddie Cross, our guest. Eddie, is Teofimo in a class by himself at 135?
I believe so. I definitely think that that Tank and Teofimo are the top of the 135. I, like, who knows if Tank's going to come back down after he fights Mario. But, you know, that's the fight that I want to see is Teofimo Lopez and Tank. And that would be great. That would be a good fight.
Okay. wow. Bit of a stunner last night. Nonito Donaire. What can I say other than fighter of the month?
Fighter of, man, come on, man. The guy is, what, 38? Yeah, he's all, the oldest guy to ever win a bantamweight title. And you know what? The thing was, before the fight, I was like, man, I think Nonito's going to stop this guy. I just felt, you know, I just felt like he, I don't know, something in the air last night. And, man, he, you know, it just reminded you that the last thing to go is your punch, right? If you're a puncher, you'll carry that with you until you're later on in your career. It was a great thing to see. I'm really happy for him and Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I mean, the Filipino Flash from Newark, California, of course. I talked about him bursting that knockout of Victor Chinian, 7-7-0-7, July 7, 2007, knocking Victor Chinian into another time zone. Of course, that was 112 pounds. He's back to 118 pounds. I think the only mistake he made was going up in weight too much. I think that's where he should have spent more time in 115 and 118. What do you think?
You know what? I think that junior feather or super bantam was an okay weight for him. Mm-hmm. You know what? I felt like, you know, during that time, like right before he fought, Rigondeaux, that he just, you know, maybe was a little burned out and wasn't training the way he should have. Mm-hmm. You know, like I felt like he was running his own training camps and that, you know, I remember before he fought Rigondeaux, he came down to my gym. He was there to watch somebody else spar. And, you know, the fight had just gotten announced. He goes, yeah, I'm fighting Rigondeaux next. And I said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I opened up as a 3-1 favorite. And I said, oh man. I was just thinking to myself, oh man, you're already like counting your money. So I thought he was going to lose that fight because he was not focused. Could he have beat him if he was focused? Sure. I mean, look, he dropped him, right? Mm. So, you know, if he was focused and, you know, had really you know, felt like Rigondeaux was a threat to him, then, you know, I felt like the outcome could have been different. Who knows?
Okay. Eddie Cross, our guest. Josh Taylor and Jose Ramirez last week, of course. Josh Taylor capturing undisputed world title holder, world title belts as far as 140 pounds was concerned. I was impressed with that. I was impressed with him. I thought he fought a good fight. And, of course, that's not the first time a guy from England seems to be prevailing. And, of course, the Marcus of Queensbury rules was where boxing started. It's sort of good that boxing – I'm going all over the place here. But this is a this is what happens when you invest in amateur boxing. The English have invested in amateur boxing, something the United States haven't.
Well, you know, yeah, especially, you know, England, Ireland, Scotland, they put a lot of money into their amateur systems, and it's showing right now. And, you know, I mean, like here in the U.S., I got, you know, kids are, you know, trying to go pro as soon as they can. Sometimes 17, sometimes 16, some of them are going over to Mexico to turn pro. It's much different. You know, the whole amateur system here. Everybody's goal is to get to the Olympics or get enough experience and eyeballs on you to get signed to a promoter and then turn pro. Nothing, you know, there's not like a lot of, you know, I want to represent my country in the Olympics any longer.
Speaking of the Olympics, Japan's going crazy with the COVID. Do you think there will be an Olympics?
Yeah.
You think so,
I think
huh?
I think there's too much money involved. There's too much money involved.
Why is it always come back to the buck?
Because stuff that is risky is only done if there's money involved. If there's no money involved, people aren't going to take that risk.
Good point. What can I say? Eddie just tells it like it is. That's why we get him on the show. Tell me about B Street Boxing in the gym. Where is it at on the web? All that kind of good stuff.
BStreetBoxing.com, and we're on 223 South B Street in San Mateo, and, you know, we've been there 12 years and looking to be there another 30.
Okay, so as far as boxing, we've got, you know, the pros and the amateurs working out there. Is there, you got the blue-collar thing going, too?
White-collar thing?
Yeah, white-collar thing. White-collar, blue-collar?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would say, you know, of the 150 members or 120 members of the gym, like, you know, 95 of them are just, you know, regular people working out and taking some boxing classes to stay in shape or get in shape or get in better shape, right?
Yep.
And then the other, you know, the other 10% of the people are either pros or amateurs.
All right, last question.
Mostly amateurs.
Last question before I let you go. Should squares like that, should we let them spar and take shots to the chin?
Who?
I mean, the average square that walks in off the street, the white-collar guy, should he take a shot to the chin?
If they're in shape, I mean, they got, you know, look, if they put in the time to get in shape and train and learn the skill set, it's just like anybody else getting in the ring, right? If they put in the time, yes, why not?
Well, there's nothing quite like getting buzzed the first time, is there, Eddie?
No. You know what? And teaches you a lot about yourself. And, you know, some people say, no, that's not for me. And some people, you know, like me, like you, we turn around and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get better. I'm coming back and get you next time.
Prime time, Eddie Croft, BStreetBoxing.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it is correct.
BStreetBoxing.com, San Mateo, California. I'm going to come by in the next few days, I promise. I want to come by and see what the operation's like and things like that, because you've been there a long time. And I wish you the best. Continued success with you and the family and good health, Eddie. I wish you nothing but the best, my brother.
Come on, Pedro. Thank you, man.
The great Eddie Croft. Primetime Eddie Croft. B Street Boxing is what he calls home. BStreetBoxing.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
And you know who never gets a death penalty? Are crazy people and mentally ill people. Anybody who's got a problem, like a Jeffrey Dahmer, remember that guy? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? Dahmer was eating a lot of people. And they never gave him the death penalty because he was ruled insane. What a surprise. But if a guy's crazy, that's the defense in America. He doesn't know what he did. He cannot be held responsible for his actions. Well, if he doesn't know what he did, then he doesn't know we're going to kill him. The guy's that crazy, you put the guy in the electric chair, we'll tell him it's a ride.
The sweet sounds of Tower of Power coming back from the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, Emilio Castillo and the boys, Oakland Godfathers of Soul, no doubt about that. Check them out at towerofpower.com. I was about to say bumpcity.com. That used to be their old website. No, it's towerofpower.com. Of course, the latest drops, Cudi says they're not called albums, they're not called CDs anymore. They're called drops. The latest drops from the Tower of Power are available at towerofpower.com. Of course, there's iTunes as well. Now, Devin Haney, all in all, give him about a B for last night's performance, no doubt about it. I think nobody gets an A here, of course. A B, got rattled a couple times, showed that he, I guess he can take a shot, or he couldn't take a shot because he never got hit with more than one punch at a time. In other words, if he got hurt with the one punch, if the old man and Eddie Croft talked about this, not being able to put together a significant or a tremendous offensive barrage because of the fact he's old, he's had to pick his shots, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. But had he went for it, I think had Linares went for it, the fight would have been a little bit more dramatic than it was. No doubt about that. A 12-round win, 115, 113, and one scorecard was 7-5. Of course, the other two cards had it 116 to 112 for Devin Haney. And now 26-0, the kid from San Francisco, California, going to take on somebody. Could it be a Teofimo Lopez next? We'll see what happens when Lopez takes on George Kambosos, of course, June 19th. Next hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number 2 forthcoming here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. We hope to be joined by the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant. That and more in Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the news on Sports Byline and WBC Boxing TV.